The Bright Side Home Theater Podcast is a spoiler podcast. The opinions and reviews are solely those of the Bright Side Home Theater Podcast.
This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
This is Bright Side Home Theater.
Hey, Home Theater Nerds, I'm back. I'm DJ, and welcome back to the Bright Side Home Theater. Hope everybody had a good week. This week, we're going to push play on the recent 4K UHD release of Universal Soldier from 1992. And before we do that, we're going to get into a little bit of news. Unfortunately, my fault, my scheduling isn't allowing us to hook up with Justin this week from High Def Disc News. So I'm just going to go over a couple of things myself. And the first one I'm going to talk about is the only 4K Ultra HD coming out on Tuesday, November 26th, is Fallen Angel. That one looks pretty good. I'm actually excited for that one. I'll probably be doing a review of that because I just love doing action movies. And then jumping over to Blu-ray, we have All About Eve from 1950s coming out with a Criterion Collection edition. That could be interesting. I like looking back at the old movies and seeing what they did with that. I wish it was in 4K, but Blu-ray should be pretty good. And scrolling down, the only other one of note that I could see would be RoboCop coming out. Limited edition steelbook from Arrow Video. Also has a limited edition collector's set. That's one I'll probably be picking up, if nothing else, for this podcast. I wish they had a 4K of that. Maybe they will, and they'll get me on the double dip there. It's a classic movie that's definitely worth having in my collection, and it's fun to review, so I'll probably be doing that. So if you need any other disc news, you can go to highdefdiscnews.com. Justin has a pretty extensive library there of releases that are coming out. The other one of note that comes out the following week is Game of Thrones Season 8, coming out in a 4K disc box set. I am definitely going to be picking that one up just to see Episode 3, The Long Night, and see how the black levels look on that. That was a much talked about episode where everybody around the country, or around the world for that matter, talking about how their screen looked awful, but then other people talking about, well, if you have a calibrated screen, it looks great. I'm very much looking forward to seeing how that looks in 4K with the HDR and always the sound. I'm sure it's in Atmos because the Game of Thrones, as a matter of fact, was the first, I think, TV show to get Dolby Atmos by HBO. So I own that, the complete box set of all 7 seasons. And the reason I did buy it was because it was in Dolby Atmos and it did sound really, really good. So I'm really looking forward to Season 8. I know a lot of people weren't crazy about the season itself, but it will be fun to rewatch that and see how it comes out in disc form. So that's all I have for news for this week. Let's head on into the theater and push play on the 4K UHD disc set of Universal Soldier.
It was a top secret government project.
Pack them in ice, all of them.
Designed to create the perfect soldier. Cryogenically preserved, genetically enhanced, programmed to obey.
They're at the tower.
Okay, here we go.
Who are these guys?
30 hostages held inside the power station at the base of the structure.
I said shut up!
Go inside.
Begin phase 2.
This marks the 3rd successful mission for the Universal Soldier.
But there was something they didn't count on.
He's not responding. GR-44, do you read me?
At the end of the mission, he became completely unresponsive.
Inside the machine is a man.
Do you really think the Pentagon would allow the regeneration of dead soldiers?
And all it takes is one memory.
But you didn't do anything!
To awaken him.
Let's go! Hit it!
Traitor. Universal Soldier.
What the hell did they do to you?
Don't know. But I'm going to find out.
Jean-Claude Van Damme. Dolph Lundgren.
Universal Soldier.
Stop. That is an order.
Boom. listening to that trailer, you can really tell that this movie came out shortly after Terminator 2. It's made by the same production company, Carolco. Mario Casar is involved. This is one of his big movies. So he owns all these properties. He did Terminator 2, First Blood, Rambo. He's done, this is his wheelhouse. So he's not really stealing it. And the score that you could hear in that trailer isn't really in the movie, but I'm wondering, did he do that to get people into the theater to, maybe they forgot that that's the score from the Terminator 2 movie? I don't know, but I thought it was really interesting in the trailer. That little bit of a trailer that I just played is also the same trailer that's in the extras on this disc set. I was really excited to see that this movie came out like a week after I'd started doing this podcast. I haven't seen this movie since the Laserdisc days. I owned it on Laserdisc. Really enjoyed playing it on my theater back in the 90s as well on Laserdisc. And after watching the entire movie, you really get the feel of the difference between how movies were made back then and how movies are made today. I had a lot of fun watching this, but it clearly is, you know, you can tell it's dated material. If you don't have any nostalgia for these movies from the 90s, you're probably watching this and saying, like, why? The acting is, well, Van Damme is stiff, but he's supposed to be. He's a robot for all intents and purposes. He's a universal soldier, a Unisol, that's what it was, Unisol. But that's not what I'm here to talk about. I like to talk about how was it, how did it envelop you? Did you get into the movie? And I really did. I thought the opening scene, it really grabs you. They open up in Vietnam. There's a lot going on with the sounds around the room. There's rain. There's thunder. The thunder is rolling. Once this movie starts, you jump right into it. I also thought the picture was really good, too. From the opening scene, the blacks were very deep. With all the action going on at the beginning, it looks like they did a really good job at restoring this, or the best that they could do. I've never seen this movie look better. Obviously, I haven't seen it since Laserdiscs, and I really enjoyed it. I thought the colors were great. They were, you know, bright neon signs really popped off the screen. Like I said, the blacks were really good. There was good detail, I thought, in the blacks. It really allowed you to immerse yourself in the movie just watching the screen. One of the things I noticed is the 4K restoration was so good that I'm wondering if it actually exposed some of the filming flaws. And there were a couple of scenes where they would be focusing on a character's face. Like I remember one with Dolph Lundgren and his face was blurry, but you notice his shoulder was like crystal clear, almost like the camera was focused not far enough for his face, but his shoulder was a little closer. You know, is that something that they can't rectify with a restoration, because that's just the way it was shot? And it really kind of looked weird. It's not like, you know, sometimes you'll see they'll blur a face to soften it or something because they don't want to show the aging lines and wrinkles in their face or something, but you're not going to do that with Dolph Lundgren. You know, he was young at the time. He looked great. That wasn't the purpose. It was just a little bit weird, but I think that was more of the restoration being so good, seeing everything in 4K, and then they're exposing what was on the film. But overall, I thought the picture was good. It allowed you to immerse yourself into the movie, and it was well done, and probably the best version we'll ever see this movie in. I don't think they're going to do another restoration of this. Now, the sound in the movie, my favorite part, there wasn't a lot to write home about. I thought it was fun, but there's no reference material whatsoever in this movie. There's nothing I would say, hey, come on in, I want to show you this scene. There was a lot of great ambient sound throughout the movie. Bullets are flying all around you in any of the battle scenes. There's some thunder that rolls from front to back, going from scene to scene, the way they use the ambient sounds to convey where you were, whether you were in a building or you were outside. Great use of the surround channels. And for a movie from 1992, that's pretty good. There was some good panning left to right, right to left. One scene when the crowd at the beginning of the movie, the crowd of reporters was rushing off from the right to the left. You could hear everybody's pitter patter and everything go right across your screen. That was kind of fun, but there's, I'm not going to bring somebody into my theater and pull up that scene to show them that. It really, again, nothing to write home about. They really could have done a lot by going with a little bit more bass, maybe using the LFE channel a little bit more, or maybe a lot more, because there really was no real bass extension in this movie. A lot of good opportunities in the thunderclaps. There's shotgun fire, and there is no real bass, no punch you in the chest type feel. And there were a lot of opportunities to do it. So overall, I felt like the sound was kind of flat, wasn't very loud in volume either. They didn't really deliver on that. I would say, like, you know, this wasn't the best, but it is a movie from 92, and you're leaving your brain at the door. I sat down with my popcorn and my fountain soda and went back to 1992. And I got to say, this is probably better than it was in the theater in 92, so I can't argue with that. But this is definitely one I'm not going to be recommending and as a reference disc, especially compared to having done T2 a few weeks ago, and that movie's a year older than this, and the sound on that was much better, much more lively and a lot more punch to it than Universal Soldier Transfer. So with all that being said, though, this movie really, really does stand out after you watch most of the extras. I'm not saying you have to watch all of them, but there's two different commentaries on this, and actually what's a pretty cool feature I should note is that all of the extras are on both the 4K disc and on the standard Blu-ray disc. Speaking of that, I did watch a little bit of the 1080p version of the film, and as you would expect, I mean, it looked good, but as you would expect, the 4K version looked sharper. It had better blacks, more detail in the blacks, of course. If you're going to go back and forth, you're going to see a little bit of a difference. But if you're just watching the 1080p, it still looks really good. And they both have the same sound. So they both have the DTS Master HD sound. So you can't go wrong with the sound there on picking from either one. Sometimes the 4K has the Atmos mix, but there's no Atmos mix here. But anyways, back to the extras. Yeah, the commentary from director Roland Emmerich and one of the writers, Dean Devlin. That one's real. They're both really good. The second commentary has Roland Emmerich and Jean-Claude Van Damme and Dolph Lundgren, as well as Dean Devlin. I checked them to see if it was actually just like the Roland Emmerich and Dean Devlin one, and then they splice in some Jean-Claude and some Lundgren, but it wasn't. Both of them are different. There's a lot of overlap in information, but it's not the same exact story being told. So you'll get different stories in each one. Some of them, it's a new version of the same story. The commentary with the four of them, it's only Emmerich and Devlin sitting together talking, and then they splice in Van Damme and Dolph Lundgren. It's not the four of them sitting down to watch the movie together, which was a little disappointing. To be honest with you, that one, the Van Damme and the Dolph Lundgren information, it's pretty scarce. It's, you know, a little bit at the beginning, but then they just pop in and out here and there. They'll edit in a few pieces that they had something to say about. But there was a lot of good information in there. A couple of funny things. First off, one of them says this is the first high-tech zombie movie ever, which I thought was funny because I've never even thought of it that way, that this is a zombie movie. But for all intents and purposes, it is. I believe that was Dean that said that. Dean Devlin said that. And Emmerich actually says in the commentary while he's watching his own movie, the quote is, "This movie isn't all that bad." End quote. Which I think is pretty funny because a lot of people look at these movies, especially now in hindsight, and you're like, wow, you know, these are movies from the 90s or whatever. And it doesn't really play as well because we have the technology so much better now. But listening to all of these extras, you really get the feel and find out that this movie was made on a relatively low budget. $20 million to make this entire movie. That's a low budget considering what the budget was for Terminator 2 that came out the year before, which a lot of people are comparing this to, negatively and positively. You know, I've seen both. Another thing in the commentaries was they actually described the bus chase scene at the end. They really go in depth on that. They considered it one of the best chase scenes up until that point. Emmerich actually says he's still getting residual checks from the TV show JAG because they actually use that bus chase scene, clips of it, in the show. So he still, you know, and it's in one of the commentaries. It might have been in both. I'm not really sure. Like I said, if you listen to both commentaries, you'll hear some overlap in stories, but there are different things in each. So it is kind of worth listening to both of them. And especially at the end, there is an alternate ending, which I recommend you watch before you listen to the commentaries or anything like that. But there is an alternate ending to this movie. And if you haven't seen it, it's a big difference from the theatrical ending that we ended up getting. It's a much darker ending, but I recommend watching that first. And then listening to, even if you fast forward to the commentary at the end, fast forward to the end of the movie and put the commentary on, and they'll tell you why they did the edit, why they changed it the way they did. Actually, there's information throughout, including the guns, genes, and fighting machines. That's the making of Universal Soldier. That one was very informative. That one is definitely worth a watch. There's so much information in there. A lot of good interviews. They used the footage from sitting down with Dolph Lundgren and Jean-Claude Van Damme on their thoughts of the movie. But after watching the Guns, Genes, and Fighting Machines, which is almost 20 minutes, definitely jump right from that one to the behind the scenes, which is about 15 minutes long. There's not a lot of dialogue. It's literally just scenes from behind the scenes. Very raw footage, off-camera footage. But you take the information that you got from the making of, and you'll see a lot of the stuff behind the scenes. It'll fill in a lot of the information. There's one particular scene where one of the stuntmen is running down the dam, and they show the scene right when he's about to leave the top of the dam. And you see what it takes for a stuntman to run down the side of a dam, because you're like, wow, that's steep. That's a long way down. It's a really quick shot, but you see that. And then there's another scene in behind the scenes where they show we know as stuntmen, they're jumping out of the helicopter into the river at the beginning of the movie. And in one of the commentaries, somebody tells you a story about a guy that jumped and fell and landed on his back. When you watch the behind the scenes, you'll see one of the guys jumping out of the helicopter. And when he hits the water, he's like completely prone. He's not like all the other guys go feet first, feet first, feet first. And there's this one guy that just tips his body and he goes into the water and does a complete backsplash. And it's gotta hurt from that height and probably the speed the helicopter is doing. All of those coupled together, the two commentaries, the Guns, Genes, and Fighting Machines, and the behind the scenes, it's really informative. It was really a lot of fun, and it did give me a whole new respect for the movie, knowing it was a $20 million budget, and it was Roland Emmerich's first big break, is kind of the way he describes it in this, by saying that from here he went on to do Stargate, and from there he went on to do Independence Day. And it was because of this movie that he got the opportunity to do Stargate. And because he did Stargate, they allowed him to do Independence Day. So it's amazing, like, you know, the family tree of this movie, where it goes. They even talk a little bit about, I think it's Carolco that goes out of business shortly after this movie. This movie kept them in business a little longer, I believe, but they said if they had stayed in business, their next movie would have been Independence Day, which the next movie after that would have been Titanic for Carolco. It's a shame that they went under, but obviously the people involved didn't. The last piece, which I thought was it was one of my favorite parts, if not my favorite part of the extras. It's 14 minutes long, A Tale of Two Titans, and it's a really good back and forth interview with Dolph Lundgren and Jean-Claude Van Damme, and you really get to know the two characters. I had no idea up until watching this, Dolph Lundgren, how smart he is. I'd heard stories that he was a smart guy. He's not the guy you see in a movie and he's like, you know, I must break you or whatever he says. His life story up until he became an actor is really amazing. Went to school for chemical engineering, came to the States. I think he went to Washington State first. From there, he went to Australia. He was studying in Sydney. And then he got, in all of these places, he got full scholarships. Came to America because he had a full scholarship to get his master's degree. Or no, I'm sorry. He already had his master's degree, I believe. He came to study at MIT on a full scholarship. And he, as he says in the story, he met a woman and he kind of got sidetracked and the rest is history. But he was going to MIT on a full scholarship for chemical engineering. That is one smart 6'5" bodybuilding dude. So, I mean, I have a whole new respect for him. I mean, I liked his movies anyways. I love action movies. I love all of this stuff. I love The Expendables. But come on, that was amazing. And Van Damme, this is his first big budget movie. And you can see, even in this interview, his excitement over that and where he came from, how he started out with Bloodsport. I'd known that story, but it is a lot of fun to watch him tell it. And I highly, highly recommend A Tale of Two Titans. It's such a good extra in this. And like I said, it's only 15 minutes long. So that's all I got on the Universal Soldier 4K UHD disc set. Let me know what you thought on Twitter at BrightsideHT, or you can email me at thebrightsidechat@gmail.com. If you're on iTunes, please click subscribe and go give me a rating and write a quick review. Let me know what you thought. Hopefully it's all 5 stars. I'm doing my best. And also check out the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network over at nerdylegion.com. A lot of good content over there for podcasting. My other podcast is over there, The Bright Side Chat, where we just talk comics. There's Comic Talk Today, Indie Alley, which talks about independent comic books and independent wrestling. There's also the Nerdy Legion, which talks about everything nerdy, which is great. There's fantasy football and all different types of stuff. There's like 20 plus podcasts there. So check that out. And I'm not sure what we're going to be doing next week. I will have something. So check us out then. Thanks for listening. Now go push play.
Hey Fred.
This has been a Hey Fred production with theme music by Jeff Bernhardt and Throne Vault Productions.